How to Be Fabulous with Charlotte Dallison. Out with the old and in with the vintage. Each week I chat to a fabulous expert guest on their vintage wardrobe in order to inspire you to embrace more secondhand style. Hello everyone, we are officially halfway through season two, which is wild. This week we have a fantastic guest. She is a fellow Kiwi named Lizzie Langridge. Lizzie is the founder and curator of Love James, a vintage bridal and occasion wear brand which offers a curated selection of statement vintage made for celebration. Originally a fashion design and business major, with stints interning for fashion houses in New York and London, Lizzie has always enjoyed the showroom and sales part of the fashion business. After collecting vintage and buying secondhand for most of her lifetime, in 2020 she decided to start collecting seriously with the plan to launch a collection of vintage bridal pieces for the discerning and alternative bride. Love James launched in April 2022 and is a by appointment pop-up showroom boutique. Through her business, she offers a curated selection of vintage bridal and colourful occasion wear. I had a fab time speaking to Lizzie, as I always do. She was wonderful to connect with. We had a lot of things in common again. She lived in Wellington when I did. She's lived in London as well. So a few things in common there. And I found her super endearing to speak with. She has a really like fresh and honest approach to fashion. And I think you will really enjoy this episode. I think yes, I do this all the time. Hi, Lizzie. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. We've made it online and I'm very happy to be here.
I know. That was like fun trying to sort that out. And it's not even Mercury retrograde anymore, so we can't blame anything other than our own
just our
technical
own
skills.
Yes.
Or lack thereof. You'd think I'd be better, but I am how I am. Anyway, this podcast is obviously about vintage clothes, and before we get into your vintage style journey and Love James, I'd love to hear a little bit about you and your background, where you live, all of that stuff.
Great. Well, my name's Lizzie, obviously, and I currently live in Auckland. Originally, I was born in the UK, and moved to a small town, Whakatane, in the mighty Bay of Plenty. So that's where I kind of grew up. My op shopping journey started, you could say, and all the Whakatane haunts. After schooling and things, I went to uni and studied fashion and business at Massey and did the degree there, which I loved. And then in my kind of career, I moved afterwards to London to do a couple of internships and then on to New York as well, where I had 12 jobs, which was very fun. Yeah, 12 different jobs, which people always ask me, what did you do? Like, very much overlapping a lot of different jobs, because people always say, oh, what did you do in New York? And I'm like, well, where do I start? There was the handing out pies, there was the interning, there was the nannying, there was working on like Fifth Avenue. I did a lot of different things. But after that, I came back to New Zealand and ended up where I am now, which I worked as in wholesale and sales. And now I work in e-commerce, and on the side I've started a business which is called Love James, and it's got a focus on vintage bridal and occasion wear.
Oh, so amazing. I didn't know you'd lived in New York, actually. I think last time you and I spoke, we'd spoken about London maybe. I also wonder if we were in London at the same time. When did you live there?
London, 2015.
Oh my God, I lived in London too in 2015. In 2014 and 2015.
Past each other and had no idea. I love that.
And I was a fashion intern as well.
I was,
from New Zealand,
yes, I was. I worked for like a brand called Bueller in Belgravia, which was very fancy. Could barely afford the flat whites from the cafes, but it was great. Loved it. Love London. I also went to London on my gap year. And that was like my first time going to the markets and going to Camden Market. I bought a pair of Doc Martens, I remember. Great times. Love London. Love New York probably more, but love London.
Yes, I love New York as well. I've not lived there, I think partly because the reality means you need 12 jobs to sustain yourself. But I'm still kind of fantasize about living there.
Yes.
And so tell me about how you got into vintage clothing and style.
Well, I guess I always bought secondhand, and I think I liked buying. I always sort of went op shopping when I was younger in Whakatane. And I just loved old things. I think I've always loved old things. I think having moved over from England when I was three, and then when I went back for the first time since we'd emigrated to New Zealand when I was 18, I realised how much I love British things, like very nostalgic and the bunting and the brick and kind of like a lot of like the old vintage stores we would go to, I would love. So I guess I've always had a taste for old things. Yeah.
And oh, then that's so sweet.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I sort of started buying things, always buying things secondhand, and some old, some new. And yeah, I just always loved that vintage was always so different. And yeah, it gave me access to buying like a huge range of things compared to the options in Whakatane back then were very limited in the fashion scene.
I can imagine. I feel like in New Zealand in general, but probably Christchurch had access to a little bit more than you guys up there.
Christchurch is great. So much good furniture down there. I feel like always on Trade Me, that's where all the good furniture is.
I know, that's a good observation. That makes me like it more.
Yeah, of kind of old things. We're like, you know, the original cities were. But yeah, not quite the same, but I mean, the best op shops are where there's a like high old people, old people demographic that are donating things, I think.
Well, I'd love to know too, how did you go from like working in sort of, traditional fashion roles to now working in the vintage space? Like what made you inspired to start Love James?
I had been thinking on the idea for about 5 years or so, and I had always loved vintage, and I had also, I loved sales in the sense of like I used to buy and sell things on Trade Me, or I would, you know, turn over things. So I think I liked that element of sales as well. So and then I just loved vintage. So I kind of had been thinking on it, and I felt like there was just a real gap in the New Zealand market for interesting bridal fun options, just more vintage really. I mean, yeah, the options are very safe, a lot of them, in the kind of like mainstream bridal brands. And I sort of thought, what would my friends buy if they were getting married tomorrow? Who would they, you know, what would they wear? And they'd want to wear something, you know, vintage by a designer they liked, like Vivienne Westwood or Izzy Miyake or something like that. Or they would get something made by a local designer. So that's kind of what started me thinking about opening Love James.
Oh, that's so interesting. I think there's a gap, and there was a gap until you started in the New Zealand market for sure. But I also think that like everywhere there's still gaps for vintage bridal. Like it's hard to come by, and not necessarily easy to access. Like there might be businesses that have existed for a while, but I think obviously you being sort of in the digital and then pop-up space, it makes it much more accessible, sort of working in with the way people shop now, which I think is clever.
It's not, and that's the thing, I didn't want it to be just like another vintage store. I wanted it to have that kind of salon boutique feel that you know, have an appointment and you get to kind of like look at a selection of clothes that you can't kind of browse online. Like I sort of wanted it to be about the experience of shopping vintage and that kind of thrill of going through a rack of clothing and being like, oh my god, that, oh my god, that, like, and just that kind of feeling that I would get. So I wanted to kind of pick pieces that would evoke that for people who love vintage and for people who are just becoming open to wearing it.
Yes, and I think with bridal, like, it's the last sort of remaining section of shopping that people will like ideally do in person, because I think, you know, we're so used to online shopping, and it's important to have a like catalogue of sorts, regardless of what you're selling online. But I think that bridal is a space where no matter who the customer is, like, they're very likely to want to do it in person. So I think it's great that you're focusing on that experience, because people actually still want that experience, which is fabulous.
Yeah, totally. And it is one of those things where I don't have a traditional online e-commerce store at the moment, and I have thought about different ways of doing it, but I think for now, yeah, I know that even if they saw it online, they're going to want to come and try it on in person. So yeah, tempting people with little sneak peeks on Instagram.
Yes, exactly. And so back to you, how would you describe your personal style, and how do you incorporate vintage into it?
Tough question. I've got a very eclectic taste, I would say. I'd describe my wardrobe as sort of 95% or 90% maybe secondhand, or and then of that proportion, some of it would be what I'd consider vintage, 20 years older. But yeah, very eclectic. Some days I'm like a blazer, jeans, t-shirt. Other days, really feminine, kind of like floaty, colourful dress. I love colour. That's probably something I do really like. So I do tend to go for really bold statement colour pieces. But at the same time, I could wear something boring all week and then randomly a colourful dress. I don't know if that answers it, but... A very eclectic mix. That's what it is.
I like that. I mean, it makes sense considering you work full time and have a business. It's like you need a uniform sometimes when you're in that sort of mode.
And then I kind of randomly will splurge on sort of New Zealand designers.
Yes. Well, New Zealand designers are so great. And I think that a lot of New Zealand designer pieces work in well with vintage because of the like sort of classic, I find New Zealand design, like, this is a observation of mine, personal observation, but I do find it, there's something kind of classic about it, even though it's really like innovative at the same time, but
yeah,
there's sort of an emphasis on like nice lines and that sort of thing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's sort of one of those ones where you need to like zoom out and sometimes like be away from it for a while before you can kind of see it objectively and sort of see what is our fashion DNA as opposed to sort of like American style or Paris or, you know, France or something like that, European style. So
I think even compared to Australia, like New Zealand has a freedom from tradition. So in that it's quite innovative and like boundary pushing in a way. Like I always find New Zealand is so ahead yet so behind, just generally. Yes. And I think that the fashion reflects that. Like but how I think that mixes with vintage is it makes it really like modern when it's sort of combined. I think you can really, like, if you harness it, you can really create some like super contemporary, quite unusual, cool looks for sure.
That's the thing. Yeah,
it's just what I think.
You can with vintage, I guess you can just keep mixing in something every 20 years and you could be pulling out the same piece and remixing it in with new pieces. So yeah,
100%. And have you had, on your style journey, have you had any specific fashion phases, or have you always stuck to your eclectic color blocking look?
Yes, I think it has always been eclectic, but then, of course, influenced by whatever's happening around me. I think I was pondering on this question, and I did used to, like, love so cringe. Like, back when I was in high school, quite a few of my friends were really into hardcore music, so I had, like, this horrendous side fringe. And then like band t-shirts and obviously skinny jeans were really big in black then. So I was still buying things secondhand and wearing it, but, you know, terrible plastic beaded necklaces, you know, for the year 20 or 2005, you know, that kind of thing. But that's the only, and then when I went to university, black and drapey, everything was very black and drapey, mesh, a lot of black mesh, terrible like platform. So all of our friends, we would just, I don't know, waltz around Wellington in these like big mesh, black drapey garments. So I definitely don't wear that anymore. I definitely integrated a lot more colour, actually. I always wore a lot of black as a child. I remember my auntie saying, oh, you're always wearing black, which, I mean, yeah, my parents didn't mind. They let me wear whatever I wanted. I think I was very opinionated. But, yeah, I probably wear less black now. I still love it. But, I mean, yeah, I describe my wardrobe as very colourful. So, done a 180.
That's so interesting that you've gone from... I feel like most people wear more colour in their sort of childhoods and youth and then start wearing more black, but you've done the opposite. It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
It's interesting too because people always say that people in Melbourne like wear so much black, and I sort of used to pride myself on someone who didn't really wear black. But I look at my wardrobe now and I'm like, it's 60% at least of it is just solid black, and I'm like, how did this happen? But the city has gotten
to me. It is really funny. It really, you do. It's kind of like that frog in hot water. Like if you turn it up 1 degree very slowly, it can survive as the temperature is getting hotter, kind of thing, like that analogy. But it's true. I think when I first moved to Auckland, I looked around and was like, everyone dresses like a clone here. Like no one has good personal style. It's all very like, Auckland has very kind of like corporate-y, more like sticking to the designers, like if that was the dress from the designer, not mixing it, whereas Wellington felt so much more wear whatever you like kind of thing. But yeah, I'm sure I've slowly become more and more an Aucklander, and yeah, I like it.
Yes, well, I do remember that phase in Wellington. Like I think I was there at a similar time to you, and I do remember everyone wearing that drapey black stuff, and meanwhile I was in like little 50s dresses.
Love
and
it.
Probably looked comparatively quite uncool, but
But I think
that phase, people called it like fashion pirates, like all the massy students wore the drapey stuff.
It was and it was all that kind of like, it's still the same language that's in some of the New Zealand designers, but it's interesting because a lot of it was Zambezi and Nom D and that kind of thing and Jimmy D, and that was really, and they still have some of those elements in their work, but yeah, we were into it. If I didn't have a long sleeve black mesh shirt under it, then I don't know.
It was an off day. I love that. That's so funny.
Dark lipstick, terrible, absolutely terrible.
Oh my God, but some of the lipstick all of us wore then, like what were we thinking? It was, I just wore some of the worst lipstick you've ever seen. But look, good times. Wellington was fabulous. Now, I want to chat a little about one of our season sponsors. But first, we all know that in order to live a fabulous life, one needs fabulous mental health. I've had all sorts of ups and downs throughout my own fabulous life, and some of those lower or trickier moments have meant that I have needed to seek the help of a therapist to help see me through. I really think that therapy is an invaluable modern resource, even for the more nostalgic amongst us. So do allow me to introduce one of this season's podcast sponsors, and that's BetterHelp. Thank you so much to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. BetterHelp is the world's largest therapy service, and it's 100% online. With BetterHelp, you can tap into a network of over 25,000 licensed and experienced therapists who can help you with a wide range of issues. To get started, you just need to answer a few questions about your needs and preferences in therapy. That way, BetterHelp can match you with the right therapist from their network. Then you can talk to your therapist however you feel comfortable, whether it's via text, chat, phone, or video call. You can message your therapist at any time and schedule live sessions when it's convenient for you. If your therapist isn't the right fit for any reason, you can switch to a new therapist at no additional charge. With BetterHelp, you get the same professionalism and quality you would expect from in-office therapy, but with a therapist who is custom picked for you more scheduling flexibility, and at a more affordable price. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/befabulous. That's betterhelp.com/befabulous. Everything is linked in the show notes. Do you have a most memorable vintage clothing purchase?
I do. It was 20, I even remember the year. It was 2013, I think, or 2012. And it was when leather jackets were having like a comeback majorly, the kind of like biker style, and they were heading into sort of like fashion, and it was kind of like the it item to have. And I was going over to London for a holiday, because that's where my grandparents live. And I went on my uni holidays, and it was right at the time that Boy London was also very, very big. And so I found where the Boy London store was, which was very cool. And it was either on this like same street or in the same store or something where Vivienne Westwood had her like sex shop or something, like one of her famous shops.
Amazing.
And I remember I went in and I was just looking around, because I was just visiting it to be like, oh, I went to the Boy London store in London. And I found this leather jacket, which was exactly what I wanted. It was like the classic black with the two domes on each side, and the zip up the front, the motorcycle style, with red lining. I remember just being like, oh, I found the holy grail, because they were selling in stores, I remember, for like £500, you know, in the like kind of high street, higher end boutiques. And I was willing to sort of spend all of my money that I'd save for shopping on something like that. And this one was £150, I remember. And I was just like over the moon. It didn't have a price tag. I was like, how much is this? And they're like, £150. And after I bought it, I said, do you have a bag I can put it in? And they didn't have any shopping bags. And she grabbed, the only shopping bags they had was little Tesco bags, so the supermarket. So they had to like take in, obviously, like the plastic bags from the supermarket, from Tesco's. And she sort of like shoved it in this like little plastic bag that did not fit it. And I just remember being like, thank you. And I probably put it on literally the moment I walked out. I don't know why I asked for a bag, but yeah, that was one. I've still got the jacket. I honestly, cost per wear, I think I wore it like over half of the days of the year in Wellington. I used to like live in it, but now I wouldn't wear it at all. But I would never get rid of it.
But I think it's so interesting, like, those leather goods. Another guest who will be in this season as well, I'm not sure whether she'll be before or after you, but Carrie Perry, who was a editor at Bazaar for a long time and now she's like an influencer, but she was talking about finding a sort of Balenciaga-esque vintage motorcycle leather jacket. And I think there's something to be said about like vintage leather. It's just so much better. And it's obviously way more ethical, but
yeah.
And I think those jackets like look better when they've been worn already,
totally.
Like, and kind of have molded to a body, and the fabric feels better. It's just the best. What a good story. That's hilarious. I love the Tesco bags.
So good. This little like flimsy thing anyway.
Yes. And speaking of efficacy, does sustainability factor into why you buy secondhand?
I think it does. I think I get a thrill out of not having to buy new. And I think it's just become a way that I've shopped for so long that I don't really think of it again. But I do, I don't think of it right at the point of checkout, you could say. But I think it's important to reduce how much we're shopping and how much we're buying. And yeah, I think it's a great way to take something that's already had all the resources it needed to create it, and it's still a great thing, a great piece, so why not? I'm definitely pro shopping more secondhand and vintage.
Yes, and if you said, you know, 90% of your wardrobe is secondhand, I mean, you're doing well.
Yeah.
Better than the average person, for sure.
Yeah, it is a huge part of my wardrobe.
Do you purchase vintage for other areas of your life?
Yes, I do. I basically shop. I mean, I shop with vintage dealers and like curated stores, but I also shop at op shops and sort of secondhand markets. And I love picking up quirky vases and I love candlestick holders. I've got an obsession with buying candlestick holders, which is starting to take over the house. But yes, I buy, anything secondhand, like pots, pans, cups, anything beautiful that I love that's, been made well. So definitely homeware, all of our furniture. My flatmate's amazing at sourcing vintage furniture. So our table, our chairs, our day bed, our lamp even, we got it at the Avondale Market together. Everything is vintage.
Oh, good. I love the thought of you and your like flatmate going vintage shopping together for the house. What a great idea. And I think that, when one likes vintage clothes, it often gets into decor as well, especially if you're frequenting the markets and the op shops regularly. You kind of can't help it. Have you observed any changes in the vintage market since you began shopping for vintage?
I guess recently I've noticed there is more poor quality secondhand clothing in kind of op shops or charity stores and that kind of thing. Definitely my enthusiasm to go through every single rack. If I go somewhere and I think it's mostly that kind of clothing, I've got less enthusiasm to kind of scan every single rack for that one piece of vintage. Definitely, I think there's less, but there's still pockets of places that keep getting things from people's wardrobes that they've had stashed away for 20, 30, 40 years.
Yeah, well, I think this is the reality. As clothing quality decreases, then the secondhand clothing quality will sort of decrease as a result, which is a shame.
I was saying I was talking to my boss about this, about how, you know, what is going to be the vintage of the future, because you need really good quality clothes for it to become vintage and desirable, and thinking even about how things are getting sold more times maybe in the resale market now, so they're going to wear out, which, I mean, if they're going round and round, that's great. Anything I've bought that's a New Zealand designer, I hope would one day in 20, 30 years become good quality vintage somewhere.
Yeah, definitely. It's interesting. I think it is something to be aware of, though. It's just like, what happens to fast fashion vintage?
Another amazing vintage seller in New Zealand that I love is a lady called Di, and she runs an Instagram called Welcome Back Slow Fashion. And she was saying how you laugh, but these, like, some of these terrible kind of fast fashion labels are going to become the vintage of the future, because she was saying, you know, she looks at some labels now and she remembers back in the 90s or the 80s, that was like a terrible label, that wasn't very good quality, that wasn't great, and now people are selling that as vintage. So it's one of those things that feels like, no, that would never happen, but it will be interesting to see. I mean, you probably see it, well, maybe with some of the fast fashion brands, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see what makes it to vintage. Like, it's sort of sounds horrible to think, like, vintage sheen or sheen or whatever it's called.
Oh, yeah, I know, I can't even pronounce it. Yeah, vintage, yeah. Zara, like, what?
Yeah.
How's that going to work? But it will happen. That's a good point. Yeah, it is reality. It, and look, better than going straight to landfill, if people can really wear these things.
Exactly.
Ideally, then, yeah. So I have a few sort of quick fire questions about your personal style again. Who was your style icon as you were growing up?
This one was very hard to answer. Thinking about who my style icon was, I don't really have a clear idea, but I put Hayley from Paramore when I was in my terrible hardcore screamo kind of music phase. So probably her.
Oh, that's hilarious. I remember her. She was pretty glam in a way. I feel like she had good beauty. And so who is your style icon now?
I found this really hard to pick someone because I guess I browse on Instagram and sort of cherry pick little ideas off people and love to look at what other people wear. The one person I thought of was Pandora Sykes, and she used to run the podcast with Dolly Alderton, which I loved, and she collects a lot of vintage, and she's got this amazing, I think, pink and black tux jacket that she got off Etsy, and she's also mixing in a lot of vintage into her homeware, which I love. So I would say her.
Yes, I love her style, and I also loved that podcast. And she probably showcases that like English style that you're into pretty well. So I can see why you'd be drawn to her style. And she obviously rocks a lot of colour as well.
Yes, totally. All of the things. Vintage, like colourful, English, kind of like House on the Prairie, but then mixed in with some like, yeah, I love definitely like colour and homeware as well as in clothing. So,
but still with like an urban edge, which I think is just grounds it, makes it a bit more modern. Which vintage fashion icon, dead or alive, are you desperate to have dinner with?
I put Audrey Hepburn for this. Because I think the first vintage movie I remember watching and loving was Breakfast at Tiffany's, and I was really captivated by that movie. Iconic. And yeah, I just thought it was so clever, and yeah, I feel like she's an absolute icon. So definitely that would be an interesting dinner party.
Yeah, I feel like she'd have lots of stories that would be worth hearing.
I mean, if I was to pick someone alive, I'd go with like, I mean, wouldn't it be fascinating to have dinner with sort of like Grace Coddington or Anna Wintour or one of the people who's been around fashion in that kind of era, or across eras and in that kind of sphere?
Well, perhaps you could have both or all four or three of them, Grace, Anna and Audrey.
Imagine
I don't know how much you'd actually eat. And if you could live in any other era or place style wise where and when would that be?
Probably the 50s or the 60s. I think that's probably the, I love just the glamour of those decades. Yeah, but still with a little bit of modern technology, slightly more modern than say the 1920s.
which part of the world would that be in, or would you be in Auckland still?
I think in America. I'm fascinated by all of the debutante balls and all of those kind of things that happen. That's why there is such amazing vintage in America, is just the culture around those kind of events and weddings. And I'm always looking at American vintage, and there's a lot of fantastic evening wear and occasion wear, so much more than there is available in New Zealand. And I think, yeah, purely the culture and the events of what was happening.
Yes. And I think a good, like, visual observation of that period, which is, like, out at the moment, is that movie Don't Worry, Darling. Have you seen that?
Oh, my God, yes. I'm obsessed. I just went and saw that. And it's, like, the only movie, so I can't watch any kind of horrors or anything, because I'm not into it. And so this was like right on the edge of my comfort zone, psychological thriller. But I was obsessed. I couldn't stop thinking about it for days. And the fashion is so good. The first dress she wears, which is this kind of like fuchsia color, friend of mine who's helping do some sourcing in America, she showed me a dress recently, and it was that exact same color. It was an Emma Dom strapless 50s with like tulle, in that like bright kind of color, and yeah, amazing. Definitely that kind of world, although it wouldn't have actually felt like that, but definitely what I think about walking around a movie set.
Yes, I think that film was just like a visual feast. I loved everything they all wore, and I especially loved Olivia Wilde's like leopard bikini when they're out by the pool like drinking.
So good.
I was like, I need that.
I know. So my flatmate works in film, and I was like, would it have been vintage, or would, like, I was asked, quizzing her like about the costumes, but she was saying most likely remakes, because they make copies of all the garments so that they can use them in multiple scenes.
Yes. Well, I want one made for myself. Thank you, Olivia Wilde, if you're listening.
So good. Yes, and what's so good is that, like you said, it's a visual feast. It's not, like, I feel like most horrors or psychological thrillers don't have that, like, beautiful element in the beginning.
Yes, and I also thought, because it's not technically another era, without giving too much away, there was also a slight, like, freedom about it, because, like you said before, you like the 50s and the 60s. Like, it wasn't entirely clear which exact year. It was just general mid-century, and, like, Florence's character had sort of 60s Bardot hair, but then she was wearing, like, those 50s dresses, and then Olivia Wilde was sort of, she almost had, like, 40s hair, and then she had, like, all the wiggle dresses, which were very early 60s, and it was sort of just a sort of general idealized version of mid-century America rather than like 1958 specifically, which was kind of better because then you got all the good bits.
Oh yeah, it was, yeah, it's all the good bits for sure. I love that. Yeah, I mean, even when you look at homes in America, just so many incredible mid-century homes.
I know. I'd love to own one day, just as like a little side property, you know?
Yep. Put it on the list. Put it on the list.
That's excessive. Put it on the list. Manifest it. Now, where is your favorite place to shop for vintage nowadays, apart from Love, James, of course?
Of course. Apart from my own wardrobe or collection. Probably still, I do shop a lot online. I'm always kind of browsing a lot international, to be honest, a lot of American sellers and just like your classics for like resale online, Etsy and eBay. But also things like The RealReal for more designer vintage this year and stuff like that. I'm always browsing. It's funny I say online instead of in person. But yeah, in person, I mostly still stick to the thrill of finding a gem amongst kind of a bunch of, not to say rubbish, but, you know, in a kind of charity store or something like that. I still get my biggest thrill out of finding pieces like that.
Oh, that's great. I think it's similar for me as well. And I think, it is the reality, but it's great that you're taking these pieces you're finding online and then selling them in person onwards to your clients.
Yeah, totally. And I think, yeah, it's harder to come by an incredible vintage piece in a sort of op shop setting, but then it's also about picking out and finding, something in a vintage store or from a dealer. I like shopping in other people's wardrobes.
Lastly, why do you love vintage, and why do you think more people should wear more vintage?
I love vintage because mostly it is so one of a kind. It's amazing to have pieces that you feel are really special and different to anything else, and really just so much of the craftsmanship that goes into making clothes, the way that clothes were made, it's like owning a little artwork, a little masterpiece sometimes, with all of kind of the handwork that's gone into things. And I think we've lost a lot of connection to that craft and handwork. So, yeah, I think it brings you more joy being connected to your clothing. I think the more we're connected and appreciate what we own, the more we're going to look after it. I think when I lived with my grandparents in the UK, she would always get really upset if I left dresses on the floor and didn't hang them up, because she only had two dresses. And I think we've lost so much of that appreciation for clothing by having so much mass. And I think with vintage, if you are looking for something one of a kind, you're not always buying just what's in front of you. You're kind of hunting out and only buying if it's the right thing.
It's more purposeful. That's such an interesting like story, that your grandmother only had two dresses. Imagine that. That just feels worlds away. But it would have been totally. So many women's reality then.
Exactly. And it's so easy to get caught up in, more and not having enough newness or new options. But, I think about that it's what you make it. It's how you style it. And
so I'd love to hear about what you're doing with Love James, a little bit more about the brand even, and kind of what's next and how it's growing.
Yeah, so really exciting. I mean, I only launched in April. I've had three kind of showroom weekends where I host people. It's all by appointment, so I kind of advertise and share the next dates via my Instagram. And then I've got one coming up soon, which is in Wellington, so that'll probably have come and gone by the time this podcast comes out. And I've got another one coming up in November with a jewellery designer, so we're sharing a space. But yeah, what I'll basically be hosting weekends where you can book an appointment, you can come and shop the entire collection, there's bubbles, you can have little treats. I have like little cakes from my favourite bakery, the Caker. And yeah, it's just an opportunity to kind of like have fun with your friends for just over an hour and find a new piece you love, hopefully. A lot of it is bridal, but a big chunk of the collection is party pieces and occasion wear. So, and then I've kind of curated options for first look or like ceremony or for the after party, like kind of fun sequin party dresses, little minis, ostrich feathers, that kind of thing. I love marabou feathers, so anything that's kind of a little bit more on the daring side for bridal, and things that people could want to wear the day afterwards, like if they're having a lunch or if they're having an engagement party before their wedding, that kind of thing.
So cool. And what sort of eras do you specialize in?
I've collected kind of mostly my collection falls between, starts at the 40s and then up into the kind of like 90s, early 2000s. Mostly a lot of it is 60s, but really like a little bit of everything. But the pieces that I kind of gravitate towards are those kind of like beaded 60s minis and wiggle dresses and that kind of thing. I just love that. But yeah, such a huge mix. It's all about kind of the quality of the piece and yeah, the silhouette. I always kind of want it to feel like it has a nod to kind of modern trend silhouettes or something that's going to be quite timeless.
Fabulous. And I have one last question actually about the business, just because I'm personally curious. Why did you call it Love James? Because I love the name.
A couple of reasons. The original name was going to be James because I loved the idea of more of a masculine name for a bridal. And then the other reason is because the street that I grew up on was called James Street, and that's where my parents still live. But I think we'd lived there for about 15 years before we worked out that James was actually an anagram for my whole family. So my brother's name's Jonathan, my sister's name's Anna, my dad's name's Mark, my name's Elizabeth, and my mum's name's Sue. So it spells out my whole family's name. So I really like that kind of sentimental element. But yeah, that's why. And then we were playing around with the wording, and I loved the way that it sounded like it was signed off, like a love letter, like Love James. So that's how it came around.
Oh, that's so great. I love that story and I love the connection it has to your family. Fabulous. Well, yeah. I'll have to share where people can follow you online and hopefully visit you if they're in New Zealand. There are a lot of New Zealand listeners of this podcast, so I hope they come visit you.
Come visit me. I would love to host you.
Next. Yes. And what's your Instagram handle?
So it's at lovejamesstore. And then just lovejames.co.nz. Perfect. And they can reach out to me via DM or via my website. I'll have kind of the next round of appointments available and book in a slot and come have some fun.
Amazing. Well, I'll put all of that in the show notes. Thanks so much, Lizzie. It was a pleasure to talk to you and to talk to a fellow Kiwi who loves vintage.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. That was fun.
So this week's style conundrum is quite a broad one, but I thought it was quite applicable to this episode in that it could really refer to bridal or occasion wear. So the question is, how do I modernize true vintage into my modern wardrobe? Well, in many ways, it's quite straightforward. I think what I have discovered in doing this podcast and in working in this field is that some of the most contemporary styles are often made up of vintage clothing, which I think can surprise a lot of people, given that there is a sort of set idea on how vintage can often present. So I think in terms of bridal, for example, modernizing it for like a modern bridal look or an occasion where if the piece is, you know, of a certain era, whilst it's fun to nod to that era with like your hair and makeup and accessories, in a way it can be also really fun and super modern to go completely against the grain with all of the other stuff. So say you're wearing like a 1950s dress, you could have your hair like slicked back in a really modern way, wear like sort of contemporary shoes, have a new handbag, all of that sort of stuff to make it look a little bit fresher. It's sort of taking a like modern and creative approach to something, and also mixing it up means it's not really of any era, so it sort of becomes of the current era, because it's very like, it's very much a sort of mix and match era that we live in now. It's also about tuning into what you like about a certain era, but kind of forgetting the rest. Like, I love the 50s and 60s, but I don't do the full thing anymore because I don't necessarily want to. And there are elements of other eras I like more now. Like, I've spoken about this on the episode with Joanne Gambale last season, actually, but like my hair, I used to be a bit more strident and having it quite 50s to match my wardrobe, but now I just wear it how I like, and I'm kind of more inspired by the 1940s hair-wise. 1940s or like a sort of element of the 1970s and 80s, like Jerry Hall hair. So yeah, it's just picking and choosing and making it your own. Hope I'm not rambling too much with this one. I guess it's a broad question, but I think in terms of bridal, if you have a vintage dress, there are so many ways to wear it contemporarily. It's a matter of choosing accessories and hairstyles and makeup to suit the modern day and the future. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of How to Be Fabulous with Charlotte Dallison. If you loved this podcast, please rate, review, share, and subscribe to it, as it really helps us get our name out there. You can follow us at htbfabulous on Instagram. And if you have any vintage shopping or styling conundrums, please DM us on there and we'll do our best to answer them in an upcoming episode. Thanks so much.